Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting edition of Monday Motivation. Hi everyone, this is Rabbi Garfinkel of Project 613 here in Chicago with a live studio audience. The live studio audience is back in force. It was 3 weeks without a live studio audience. We are glad that they are back. All right. So we have a fascinating podcast tonight. And we, first of all, would like to give a quick update. Project 613 had an unbelievable Shabbaton this past weekend. Over 30 young professionals packed into our house, plus the Marcuses and the Garfinkels on Project 613 staff for an absolutely incredible, unbelievable Friday night Shabbos. And then we are part of an absolutely incredible mentorship program sponsored by Olami. And there were just incredible mentors who came for the Oneg, which is the basically after, post-dessert, post-meal dessert and hangout. And the Garfinkel home was rocking we into the morning. It was amazing. And then many of our students, young professionals, stayed the entire Shabbos and earned their hashtag 25-hour club hoodie, swag, sweatshirts. Yes, whatever we could do to incentivize, we do it. And it actually is a very beautiful, well-earned prize for these amazing young professionals who take 25 hours out of their life to focus, to give to the Almighty, to give to themselves the gift of a Shabbos. You know, as wonderful as a Friday night is, and Friday night is wonderful, and there's a magic and an energy, there's something absolutely restorative, there's something deeply moving about doing an entire Shabbos. And that is part of our educational mission here at Project 613, that Shabbos is not only Friday night, it's an entire Shabbos. God willing, we will continue to grow this and be even more successful with the Almighty's help. All right. We have, you know, sometimes when you're learning Torah and things connect, it's like a divine hug. I had a divine hug this week, and then I had a second divine hug in terms of the dots connecting of different parts of Torah. Okay, so let's start off with the dynamic donkey number one. Okay, the Torah portion this past week was Parshas Balak, and Balak was in king of Moab, was the king of Moab, which was basically the last stand between the Jewish people entering the land of Israel. The Jewish people left Egypt, delayed a little bit in the desert 40 years, but everyone knew about us coming out, even from the splitting of the sea. All bodies of water, says the Midrash, were split simultaneously. The nations of the world feared us. And after a few stalls in the desert, we eventually made our way to the really the precipice of entering into the land of Israel by wiping out Og and Sihon, the two big giants, the two mighty forces. And all that was left was Moab and Midian, two other nations that we've had a past with both of them. And they want to prevent the Jewish people from coming in, but physical might is not going to stop us, because Sihon and Og were much stronger than Moab and Midian, and they melted in front of the military might of the Jewish people, supported by the Almighty. So they tried a different tactic. The tactic was that Balak called the great sorcerer, the great non-Jewish prophet named Bilam, to come and curse the Jewish people. That was his plan. And he did so. We're not going to get into the whole back and forth about how he called him, etc. But eventually Bilam is bribed and comes and uses his powers to try to curse the Jewish people. Now, on the way from Bilam's home to Balak, the king of Moab. There's a very fascinating incident with donkey number one, Bilam's donkey. And it was not a rent-a-donkey. It was his personal donkey that the Torah even says upon it that he always rode upon it. There is definitely a double entendre there. Bilam being a very, disgusting figure when he rode on it physically from place to place, and he rode on it in other bestial ways. So this was a donkey that he knew. And he is walking on the road, and Bilam knows that Hashem does not want him to go. But Bilam kept pushing the envelope and pushing the envelope and pushing the envelope. And eventually God acquiesces and says, "Bederek she'adam rotze leilech molichen oto." In the way that a person wants to go, eventually Hashem just lets him go. As much as Hashem will try to stop people from doing the wrong thing, eventually, if one uses one's free will for evil, at a certain point, Hashem just says, okay, I made you a free will. If that's what you really want to do, go ahead. And so Bilam heads out, but God gives him one more chance to slow him down, to stop him from going. And the donkey starts veering off the path. And Bilam gives him a big whack. And then the donkey keeps going a little bit more, but then veers off the path the other way. And Bilam gives him another whack, and so too a third time. And then the donkey, Bilam's donkey, opens up his mouth. And he says, in my own words, "Hey, Bilam, what's up? Don't you see the angel of death right there?" And all of a sudden, the Almighty opens up Bilam's eyes and he sees the angel of death right there. And that's why the donkey was stopping. Now, it's an absolutely incredible idea. This donkey starts talking to Bilam, and Bilam just doesn't freak out and fall off the donkey. He just continues to speak to him like it's something normal. Okay, that's one question. But in addition, Hashem was saying, telling Bilam a very deep lesson. He says, "You think you're a hotshot because I gave you prophecy?" Bilam was the great prophet of the non-Jewish world. Reasons why God gave him powers that he didn't earn, but nevertheless, he wanted that there should be a non-Jewish prophet on the level of Moshe himself, so that at the end of days, they would not complain that they did not have someone of Moshe's caliber. And use it as an out. Well, if we had someone like Moshe, then we would have been immoral. We would have been moral. And basically, we see that they were not. Because Bilam was given artificially the powers, prophetic powers of Moshe. And so the donkey has to teach Bilam the lesson. You think you're hot stuff because you're the prophet and you can speak the word of Hashem? Hashem can make a donkey speak. Hashem can make me a donkey, a physical pack animal, speak. And I can even have a vision that you can't have. So you better use your powers properly. You should, and this is the ideal, to have the spiritual vision control the physical power. That physical power shouldn't just be like a wild donkey kicking. It should be like the rider on the horse is like the soul is on top, in control of the physical donkey, or the horse, as they say, the jockey and the horse. That the spiritual mission and purpose should be in control and not the other way around. And we see from everything of Bilam's life that he could not subjugate his physical desires to a higher spiritual goal. And even though he had prophetic powers, he was still unable to put his spiritual vision over his physical drives. He went ultimately to curse the Jewish people because of his hatred for the Jewish people and also for his love for money, which he was bribed to do. And we know from what we had mentioned about his previous encounters with this donkey that his sexual drive was something that was also not in check, not focused and guided towards a higher purpose. And that is the story so far of Donkey number one. I'd like to share with you an unbelievable thing. The first hug that I got from the Almighty this week. I'm learning a very unique tractate in the Talmud. Talmud Yerushalmi, the Jerusalem Talmud, which is not learned as much as the Babylonian Talmud. I'm learning with my dear friend Tomer Biton. And we're learning in Meseches Damai. And we come up upon donkey number two. Donkey number two is the donkey of Reb Pinchas ben Yair. Okay, Reb Pinchas ben Yair was one of the all-time great sages and pious, holy men, rabbis of the Jewish people, period. His statement of 10 levels of spiritual growth became the structure of the book Mesilat Yesharim, The Path of the Just by Rav Moshe Chaim Luzzatto, a pathway towards spiritual perfection. And he was a Tana, he was a sage of the Mishnaic time, and he was incredibly pious. And here is the story of what happened to Reb Pinchas ben Yair's donkey. It was stolen. And for 3 days, the thieves tried to feed the donkey, but the donkey wouldn't eat. Delicious oats, all sorts of grains, nice stuff. The donkey refused to eat. So here is the background to the story. In agricultural law, in the Torah, there are tithes, basically spiritual taxes, that went to the Kohanim, that went to the Levi'im, that also went to the poor people. And there were certain tithes, the second tithes, either Maaser Rishon, also Maaser Sheni, the rabbis that came to a point, they realized that many of the people, the average commoners and the Jewish people, were not diligent in taking these tithes. And so there was a question if the tithes were taken, and if the tithes were not taken, it's forbidden to eat it. And so therefore they classified anyone who was not a scholar, anyone who did not have, quote unquote, the kosher certificate of knowing how to take the tithes properly and doing them, their second tithes were considered demai, which is questionable status. In which case, righteous people would then, for demai, they would tithe it themselves. And once they would tithe it themselves, then they could go ahead and eat it. So flash back to the donkey of Reb Pinchas ben Yair. And he was with the thieves and he wouldn't eat for 3 days. And the thieves are like, we don't want this carcass to smell up our hideout over here. We got to get rid of this donkey. So they let it go back. They let it free and the donkey made its way back to the home of Reb Pinchas ben Yair. And when Reb Pinchas ben Yair heard the braying of the donkey, he screamed to his staff, hurry, feed it. The donkey hasn't eaten in 3 days, the poor animal. And the staff rushes and they go and they feed the donkey. And they ask Reb Pinchas ben Yair, how did you know it didn't eat for 3 days? And Reb Pinchas ben Yair tells them, unbelievable. Are you ready for this? I know that my donkey doesn't eat demai. He doesn't eat produce from someone who's not reliable to take the second tithes, Maaser Sheni. And clearly these thieves were not on the level that they would be scrupulous in taking tithes because they're thieves. And therefore, I knew that my donkey would not be eating from there. And when he returned, he would be hungry. Wow. What in the world? What a crazy Gemara. And so what does it mean? And I'll tell you what I think it means. It means that Reb Pinchas ben Yair was so in control of his neshama. He caused his neshama, his spiritual reality, to rule over his body. that his body was not in control of his soul was in control of his body. And therefore it had a tremendous impact. When anger flared up, he would not act on it. And he probably even got to the point, and Monsieur Charm talks about, where you get to a point where you don't even feel the anger. You don't even have a flare up, because his whole spirituality was in control of his physicality. And when that happens, that impacts on your surroundings, that impacts on the people around you. It even impacts upon the animals around you. That Rav Pinchas ben Yair was so in control of his physicality that it impacted and made an impression on his donkey that served him, so much so that the donkey itself would not eat demai. The donkey was in control of its own physicality. That's to the extent, because of the influence of Rav Pinchas ben Yair. And all of a sudden, I read that, I learned it, and I thought, this is unbelievable. The same week that we have the donkey of Rav Pinchas ben Yair, we happen, just so happen to be learning that Masechta, that tractate, and we just so happen to read it and learn it on the week of Parshas Balak, where we're talking about the other donkey. And I couldn't believe it. And it was just such a contrast between Bilam, who had no control over his physicality, and Rav Pinchas ben Yair, who had total control over his physicality. And the contrast is clear. Chamor is the name for a donkey in Hebrew. Chamriut means physicality. The donkey represents physicality. And Bilam had no control over his, but Rav Pinchas ben Yair had total control over his. And then came the second hug. And I have to give a shout out to my future son-in-law, Ezra Herman, who, when I told this over to him, he said, "Abba, you're not going to believe this." He had seen an Ora Chaim, one of the great rabbis of our tradition, who, born in 1696, and from Spain, Morocco, eventually in Livorno, Italy, and eventually to Israel in the 1700s, wrote one of the most amazing Kabbalistic commentaries on the Torah called the Ora Chaim. And he, the Or HaChaim, brings down about the donkey of Bilam, Bilam's donkey, who had this insight, who could see the angel of death, who listened to Hashem's word. He says an unbelievable thing. He says that, and he quotes Kabbalistic works, the Sefer HaGilgulim of the Arizal, which means the book of reincarnations of the Arizal, the great Kabbalist at Tzfat, and also another book about who reincarnation from the Rambam Bipanua. This is another great Kabbalistic scholar who say, are you ready for this? Are you ready for the connection? That the donkey of Rav Pinchas ben Yair, who was at least 1,500 years after Bilam, was the reincarnation of Bilam. Bilam the Rasha, the evil one, was reincarnated level after level. He was so low, but he finally, somehow, through all of the reincarnations, made it to the level of the donkey of Rav Pinchas ben Yair. That even Bilam, the wicked, evil sorcerer, was able, through various reincarnations and lifetimes, to reincarnate into the lofty level of the donkey of Rav Pinchas ben Yair. Now, I can't tell you that I understand all of the Kabbalistic depth and significance of that, but the connection of these two donkeys is real, and it tells us something, and it's a guiding light for us, is that we live in an increasingly physical world of money, of desire of the flesh, and desire of the purse, and desire of food and drink and fancy and clothing and cars and jets and everything that the physical world has to offer today, and it has to offer a lot. And so these two dynamic donkeys in opposite ways come to teach us the most important lesson, that we need to be in control of our physical desires. And that we do through Torah. That those are the mitzvahs. That's why the mitzvahs help us become in control of our physicality, not to quash our physicality. And I'd like to finish with an absolutely unbelievable statement, is that Mashiach, the Messiah, is going to come riding over the Mount of Olives and on his donkey. Now, why do we need to know that the Messiah is going to be riding on his donkey? Maybe in a Tesla? Why do we care? Is because the imagery is that the Messiah is going to be riding on the donkey, meaning he's going to be riding on his physicality. He's going to be in control of the physicality. The physicality is not going to be in control of him. And how appropriate is that the Yahrzeit was just the 15th of Tammuz, was just yesterday, of the Orach Chaim HaKadosh, the Orach Chaim, and he is buried on the Mount of Olives, where Messiah is said to come riding over the hill on his donkey. Wow. God bless. Have an amazing week, and may we all ride through our lives, either in our Teslas or our Toyotas or whatever we ride in, and focus on causing our spiritual selves to rule and to guide our physical selves. God bless. Have an amazing week. We'll see you again right here, back again, for another exciting edition of Monday Motivations.